The following program has been pre-recorded. Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham. What have you missed the most during the pandemic? Well, I think a lot of people would say going to a performance, a concert, just about anything really. And while we're not quite there for in-person performances, we're going to find out about how you can see some virtual performances. On the show this time, I would like to welcome Scott Craig. Scott is the president of the Northwest Performing Arts Alliance. Hey there, Scott. Welcome to Let's Talk Portland.
Thanks, Gary.
So, the Northwest Performing Arts Alliance, tell me about that. That's something you just started.
Yeah, we formed it, my wife and I formed it in late 2020 among the pandemic. At that time, we realized that, there were very few performance opportunities for anyone. And that carried through as we kind of see ourselves getting out of this thing. But during the pandemic, we decided that we needed to provide some performance opportunities in a virtual format. So we created partnerships with Bobby P. Media and built a soundstage in one of our studios and began filming Riverside Performing Arts artists performing their virtual recitals. And we decided to kind of continue on with that tradition, and hopefully as we move into live performances again, that we'll be able to sponsor those as well. And being that there will be a lot of economic impacts from COVID, we want to be able to provide scholarship opportunities for families who've been affected by either COVID or even in the traditional sense by, due to marginalization.
Was the Alliance already in the works before the pandemic hit, or was it kind of a cause and effect thing?
We'd always planned on starting this nonprofit. It was just something that we had lots more time to put our focus into during the pandemic, when our dance studio, Riverside Performing Arts, was less busy than usual, having to transfer all of our classes to a virtual format over Zoom. So we thought this would be a great opportunity to get it off the ground.
So you put your downtime into good use. That's good. I think I mostly just sat around.
There's a little bit of that too, a little bit of overeating possibly.
Yeah, back at the beginning of the pandemic, it's like, okay, all we've ever wanted was more time, and now we have plenty of time. What are we going to do with it?
Yeah, let's get creative and constructive.
So who does the Northwest Performing Arts Alliance support, and how?
Well, we support any of our young performers in the Pacific Northwest. Currently, all of our efforts are concentrated in Clark County, where we are beginning to spin up a couple of programs for ages 6 through 10 and 10 through 18. One program is called The Little Company, which is a dance company for dancers ages 6 to 10 who want to be a little more serious about their dance experience and get the experience of having a dance company environment, which is a little different than just going to a dance class. So more commitment and longer rehearsals and more robust training. The other program that we're offering is for the youth dance company, which is ages 10 to 18, which is also a pre-professional dance troupe. Again, to give the experience of a dance company environment and helping them prepare for a future in dance as an occupation.
How many young people are you working with at a time?
Currently, our youth dance company has 5 participants, dancers, and the little company is 11 dancers.
Wow. That must be really great to watch these young people get into it, right?
Oh, it really is. I mean, and these are the young ones in a little company that are very motivated. They want to be in dance classes. It's not something that they've been forced to do. And you can just see the excitement on their faces when they've been working so hard to finally get to that performance level where they get to show off their stuff.
Tell me more about the Riverside Performing Arts.
Riverside Performing Arts was formed in 2007 by my wife and I. It was the first and only all-inclusive dance, theater, music, and preschool in Vancouver. So we are continuing on with that school as well. We have a 10,000 square foot facility in Hazeldale, Washington, and currently we have about 200 students.
Wow, that's great. That's so refreshing to see kids that are really interested in the performing arts.
Yeah, and they really are, and our families are great. Their support systems, their parents are amazing, and like I said, the performance aspect of all of this, having that goal to reach for, I think is really motivated all of these young performers to give it their all.
And to be in there because it's in their heart, not because their mom is forcing them to go to dance class.
Exactly. Yeah.
So how has COVID affected the Riverside Performing Arts? How have you guys been doing? What have you been doing for the last 15 months?
Sure. Back in March, when we were forced to close our doors for our traditional brick-and-mortar classes, we took a couple of days to transition onto an online format. And I think we were the first in our area to do that. We hunkered down with all of our instructors, who are absolutely amazing, and they were gung-ho to just keep going and provide some sort of normalcy for our students. So we transitioned into online classes on Zoom, which took place at the same time as they usually were, the same days. It was just being taught from our instructors' homes rather than in the studio. And then eventually we were able to allow our instructors to come back to the studios and teach from the studios to our students who were still remote. We did take a hit. We were down about 50% from our usual revenue. We still haven't fully recovered, but we've been very grateful to have been awarded several grants that we've applied for, as well as the PPP loans and those sorts of things. So we're not out of the woods yet, but I think we are going to be okay. And especially with our nonprofit spinning up, that's going to allow us to fundraise for more scholarship opportunities and performance opportunities for both RPA and other affiliates as we kind of grow the program.
It's been amazing to watch organizations pivot during the last 15 months during the pandemic. You know, everybody's had to pivot to a certain degree. And what kind of changes do you think you have made that will continue? And what changes will you get rid of? Gladly, probably.
I'm hoping we can gladly get rid of the online teaching. Although, you know, if it ever comes up again, we are fully prepared to and know what to do in that instance. But, you know, we've learned a lot about resiliency and determination for as business owners, but as well as teachers, you know, being able to be there for our students when, you know, they need us the most. It's been great to have our doors open again and have students return, even having new students that we've never met who I've never even seen their faces yet.
Oh, wow.
So I'm looking forward to the day that we can remove masks and kind of get back to normal and see all those smiley faces again.
What's it been like for the dancers and the kids to not only have to practice remotely, but also perform without a live audience?
It's actually been really positive. You know, it's not the same to perform in front of a live audience, obviously, but there are some benefits to the virtual performance. Our students are able to have multiple tries. You know, if there's a major flub, it's not something when you're live, you just kind of got to keep going. And when we're doing it virtually and recording it, it gives us an opportunity to get a little more fine-honed with the performance. The other thing I think is the ability to, well, I guess one of the drawbacks is not having an audience together in a room celebrating the performance. You know, you don't get the same feedback from the audience, the applause and that sort of thing. But on the flip side, we're able to share the performances with a broader audience. So we're able to open these performances up to the public and also share the performances with family members that may live across the country.
Well, that's a cool thing. What, you have a performance coming up very soon. Tell me about Metamorphosis.
So Metamorphosis is our youth dance company's spring showcase. And it's our new performance that our annual spring performance that the Youth Dance Company does. It's basically a production, a dance film, if you will. It's about the need to look inward over the last year to see how we can all continue to learn and grow. And it's about the transformation that each of the dancers has taken to kind of navigate in this ever-changing world of social norms. There's various styles and mediums. We've also filmed on a few different locations. There's one piece entitled A Fairy Tale Dream that we filmed at the Empress Palace, which is, we filmed a new piece called Fantasy Dream, which is at the Empress Estates up in Woodland, Washington. I don't know if you're familiar with that location.
I'm not.
It's a wedding venue, and they have a large mansion on the hill and some great properties, property of wooded areas and gardens and a reception hall. We, our youth dance company members dressed in fairy tale costumes, and we filmed a very nice fantasy-type dance there with their various characters running in and out of the woods and then meeting up together to dance. We also filmed part of the performance at our studio. We're actually filming that this weekend.
The idea for Metamorphosis, did that come from you, or did it come from a kind of a collaborative effort with some of the students? Or I bet everybody probably had a hand in some of it, right?
Yeah, that was a very generalized theme that all of the dancers and our dance director, Josh Marie Hawkins, wanted to address in this spring showcase was, you know, how this last year has been for everybody and how that translates into their dancing.
And some of them, information you sent me says five performers each created their own performances. Tell me about those.
Yeah, so there's a student directed pieces within the whole Metamorphosis showcase. They're pretty short; they're about 90 seconds, but they're giving our young dancers the opportunity to direct their film, their own dance film piece within the showcase. We also have a piece that's called—it's the longest piece, which is called "A Quiet Darkness," which deals with the loss of a loved one, and it pays homage to one of our choreographers, Sarah Baltazar. She lost her father recently, so the showcase is going to encompass a lot of different ups and downs that we've all been experiencing during the last year or so.
Wow! Yeah, and there's been a lot of that. I bet it's been a really emotional journey for your students.
Yeah, I've not met a single person who hasn't had complete ups and downs throughout the last year and some months.
Yeah, that's definitely been the theme for the last 15 months. Some days you feel good, some days you don't feel so good. So if we want to watch Metamorphosis, how can we do that?
You can go to northwestpaa.org/performances. Pre-sale tickets are available now. It's $20, and all of the profits from the tickets go directly to NWPA Future Performances. It's available on May 29th, and every ticket holder will be able to access a free download as well from July 1st until July 10th.
You know, that must be a pretty great thing. Maybe not so great because the performers want to have a live audience, right? But for people who live, like maybe grandparents who can't come to visit because everybody still needs to be socially distanced to a certain degree, it's getting better, but still there's some distance that needs to be in there. The grandparents, if they live away, can see it and go online and watch it, and so can aunts and uncles and friends and everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've heard, you know, numerous students having, you know, family get-togethers to watch it with their family members, or even if they are remotely, to just have a watching party remotely together, get a Zoom call going, and watch the film together.
Yeah. So how do you, when doing these performances, how do you navigate COVID protocols?
Our site supervisor, Catherine Worf, she is our COVID site supervisor, and she is fantastic. She helped us develop all of our protocols, our cleaning and sanitization schedules, make sure that everything gets done properly, takes care of all of our attestation, pre-screening, questions when everybody comes through the doors, and making sure that there aren't any people that are unnecessarily on set. So we keep everything kind of to a bare minimum and try to keep everybody as healthy as we can. Luckily, we've been blessed to not have any cases go through our doors yet. Knock on wood.
Awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. And now the kids over the age of 13 are eligible for vaccinations. It's just getting brighter and brighter and brighter all the time, isn't it?
Yeah. I've had a few students who've already gotten their first dose and can't wait to get that second dose.
Yeah, I'm fully vaccinated myself, and I tell you, it's like a new lease on life. I just feel like a superhero, or all powerful anyway.
Right. Yeah. Our staff is completely vaccinated as well. We still wear our masks in the building with students, just because we have so many students that are under that threshold of being able to get vaccinated, and we want to help keep them safe. And we also don't want to be able to have, we feel bad that we're able to not wear a mask and then they have to.
Right.
So we're kind of commiserating.
And set a good example too for the students, right?
That's right.
I was looking at your website before this interview, and back around the holidays, you guys did kind of a version of the Nutcracker. That was pretty cool to watch. And it was interesting that everybody was wearing masks.
Yeah, that was a very interesting night. We got the word of the next, we had, because I don't know if you recall, we had another shutdown around that time, and we basically said we were going to plan to film it in a couple weeks, and when that shutdown came down from the governor, we decided, okay, we've got 24 hours to film this thing, let's do it. And we called all the performers and the parents and volunteers and said, hey, we need to get this thing done. We don't want to risk the chance of all this hard work being either delayed until who knows when or not happening at all. So everybody chipped in, and they all bucked up, and we filmed everything the next night.
Wow.
Masks and all, and it turned out beautifully. I couldn't have been happier with it.
How many rehearsals did you have under your belt before you had to knock it out of the park?
We had quite a few. I think we had 3 months of weekend rehearsals. We were about 2 weeks out from actually filming, so we were pretty close. We just weren't there, weren't quite ready for the stage portion, so we had to hurry up and get the sets finalized and the props and the costumes and all those bells and whistles.
Do you think your next performance might actually have a live audience? Do you think that's maybe 6-8 months away? What's coming up next?
We are hoping for a live outdoor performance in our back parking lot. We are budgeting for that now. We're trying to figure out if it's going to be cost prohibitive or not. But that is the hopes. And as we move forward, we are dependent on schools, really, to see if their auditoriums are going to be available for us to perform in. Vancouver doesn't have a performing arts venue. That's one of our long-term goals, actually, is to help to either build one or serve on a board or committee that is able to take that on. But in the meantime, outdoor performance, and then hopefully get back into the school auditoriums.
We're talking today with Scott Craig, president of the Northwest Performing Arts Alliance. How can our listeners help you guys out?
We could use help for scholarships through our website. If you can visit northwestpaa.org/donations, we are a 501c3 public charity, and all of your donations are tax deductible.
That's awesome. And I'm looking at your website right now. There's a big donate button. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's easy. Yeah.
Money is always helpful.
You can even set up reoccurring payments if you want through PayPal.
Nice. So if parents listening have kids who may be interested in the performing arts, how do they get their kids involved?
I would find a local performing arts school, whether it's dance, theater, music, whatever your kid's into. A lot of places offer free trial classes to see if it's something that they would like to get into. Riverside Performing Arts offers trial classes, and our preschool is also a performing arts preschool for ages 3 to 4, and that's from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. every morning. And that's a great way to mix some education with the performing arts to see if it's something that fits.
And how does the audition process work during this pandemic? How have you guys done that?
We haven't had any auditions.
Okay.
Until we're having an audition. Let me find the dates. I should know that.
Didn't mean to catch off guard.
That's okay. So for auditions, the Youth Dance Company is auditioning on June 5th at 10 a.m. And for the Little Company, we are also auditioning on June 5th at 1 p.m. And that's at Riverside Performing Arts. You can learn more about that at northwestpaa.org/auditions.
Great. Let's talk, we've got a couple minutes here. Let's talk more about Metamorphosis, because that's the next performance that's coming up for you guys. Tell me more about Metamorphosis.
Well, Metamorphosis is a piece, really, or a showcase for the Youth Dance Company. It also features the Little Company in one of the pieces. But it's a mix of styles and mediums, from classical ballet to jazz to even a little bit of hip-hop. Each dancer is going to be presenting a short dance film that they've starred in and directed and produced. Another piece is called Bluebird, which is the shortest piece. It's about a minute long, and it's a variation from Sleeping Beauty, which is a very solid staple in the ballet canon. And then the longest piece, A Quiet Darkness, deals with the loss of a loved one. And without giving too much away, we have another piece which features three of our dancers who are going to be performing one of Bill Evans' pieces, Waltz for Debbie. They'll be performing accompanying each other. So one of the dancers is playing the piano while the other two are dancing, and then one's playing the flute while the other two are dancing, and then they all come together and play and dance for each other.
How many performers are involved with Metamorphosis?
We have 5 performers in the Youth Dance Company that are showcased, and 11 in the Little Dance Company, which will be presented in one piece.
Great. And how can our listeners access Metamorphosis? How can they view it?
They can go to northwestpaa.org/performances, and that's where they can find tickets.
Excellent. Well, I'm super excited that you guys get to get something out there and get it seen. That's an accomplishment during a pandemic.
Yeah, I don't think there's many other dance organizations doing this right now, for at least for public consumption. I know that there's some that are doing virtual performances for families, but we're trying to get it out there and share it with the community.
And people are so hungry for any kind of performance. I think you've hit the nail on the head with this one.
Well, thank you.
Excellent. We've been talking today with Scott Craig, president of the Northwest Performing Arts Alliance. Thanks so much, and good luck with the show.
Thank you, Gary.
If you'd like to hear this interview again, Just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.